Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Politicus Radio and I'm Jason Eastley.
And I'm Sarah Jones.
On today's show, we're going to be knocking down a great big old lie that tends to come back up every election year, that Republicans are just like, Democrats are just like Republicans. The whole both sides do it, both parties do it. False equivalency, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. We've heard it all a million times, but yet it won't go away.
No. If you've been on your Facebook page recently, you can attest to the fact that it's just getting heated up in time for the election, as it does every election year.
So, if you haven't been on your own Facebook page, maybe you've been on someone else's Facebook page today.
Hush up now.
You've heard quite a bit of, well, both sides do it.
Yeah. Yeah, this all stemmed from my Facebook page is pretty active, and I've got a lot of great readers and friends on my Facebook page. So, and they debate. There's a lot of dissent on my page, people who have differing opinions, and I enjoy. They all have a, you know, really respectful of each other, but they have a good debate. But today I noticed there was this, it's just like huge influx of, you know, Obama's a murderer, F you, just all of these conflating Democrats with Republicans, which is really aimed at, you know, these are a lot of times, I'm not saying these people are paid trolls, because I believe that many of these people actually believe this stuff too, but there's also the faction of paid trolls who do this stuff in order to dampen Democratic morale so Democrats don't come out and vote. And sometimes when we talk about this stuff, and you notice this on the Facebook page, that I had a lot of friends that were concerned too with, they don't want to see the Democratic Party taken over with corporate interests, which is a really valid concern as well. I mean, really, let's face it, there is, and I would be the first person to say, corporations are threatening to take over the entire government, so it's not like Democrats are perfect. Nobody is suggesting that. And I think that's a straw man presented by a lot of these troll types in order to avoid the real discussion. The real discussion can be shut down quite easily when you simply talk about policy, because if you get rid of the rhetoric and you talk about policy, even if Wall Street and corporations own the Democratic Party, but their platform still was, they pushed and passed laws that benefited the people, it would be different. You see, that's what matters, and people get really distracted by things that are not as relevant as the final thing, which is, what did you buy with this money? Did you buy this politician to only advocate on behalf of your corporation in the top 1%, or are you actually acting like a representative of the people like you're supposed to be, especially if you're in the House?
I think the whole Democrats are owned by corporations too rhetoric ignores a very key point. The point is, with the current campaign finance system set up as it is, with all this money flowing in, if Democrats did not raise money like they have to, they wouldn't win elections.
Right.
There's no myth. It's no lie. It's the fact. It's a straight-out fact. The playing field is what it is. If Democrats do not raise money and compete for those dollars, they will lose elections. So it's all nice to be like, well, why can't the Democrats be poor, be pure, and turn down all that money? Well, it would be great if they could. It would be great if people weren't swayed by 30-second ads. It would be great if ad bombardment didn't happen. But it does happen. And you know why it happens? You know why the Koch brothers spend hundreds of billions of dollars on
ads? Because it works.
Yes, it works.
It works on people who aren't the people listening to this show. They're not informed. Most people are too busy, frankly, to stay informed about politics. So they hear this lie on TV and they believe it. You know, I was reading a book recently about a lot of the D.C. media hates Obama because he doesn't do the party scene. And then there was this big scuffle
about...
Would
that be Our Town?
Yes. And then there was
this town.
Then there was this big scuffle about, I think this was a separate book, but I can't be sure. I got so many of them on my Kindle right now. about how he wouldn't sit down and meet with these Wall Street types during the campaign. And everybody was getting really upset with him. You have to meet with these people. They're really important. They feel blown off. And he was like, you know, basically, bite me. I don't care. He doesn't see the need to go out and stroke these people's ego. Isn't it bad enough that he has to ask them for money? You know, I mean, and that's the position that Democrats are finding themselves in. And so, and I mean, let's be really honest here. We talk about the NSA and how all the information, oh, they're spying on people. They're spying on Congress. Guess who else they spy on? I mean, there are a lot of forces at work here. So in the end, you can't change those things right now. What you can do is focus on the policy.
Look, I think you focus on the policy, you focus on changing the law, you focus on getting rid of Citizens United. I think you're completely 1,000% right. But I also
think... And the Disclose Act.
The Disclose Act, yes. But thank you for reminding me. I think the really critical way Democrats offset that is the small donors. Democrats have voted based on small donors. So Democrats aren't doing what Republicans do. They aren't acting just in that interest of those big donor billionaires. When you build a small, diverse donor base of people, or a large, diverse base of small donors, I should say, got that backwards. A small donor base equals no money, which is not good. What you do is then you make that elected official responsive to a broader constituency. Right. Their focus can't just be on, oh, look, here's what Sheldon Adelson wants. Oh, look, here's what the Koch brothers want.
And see, that Dave, right there is what you're talking about. Is now here is why I'm so big on engagement. It's fine to criticize. Of course, you need to criticize your government. But that doesn't. You need to do that and then be engaged. You need to do that and then give $5 to that person and tell that person, I donated $5, and maybe that's all you have. But guess what? I donated $5 to your campaign, and I am hoping to have a representative of the people when you go to D.C. Now, you know that a lot of the times when they get there, they're going to be, what are you laughing at me? They're going to be, you know, catering to corporations. They have to do that to some extent until these laws are changed. But when push comes to shove, like with the Affordable Care Act, with certain things, and I would say as a woman, rights over my body. There are things, voting rights, there are things that should not be up for debate, cannot be up for debate. And that is the time that the person that represents the people, and they're not always Democrats, but most of the time right now they are. They're Democrats or they're independents. Very rarely are they Republicans. I can't think of one, actually. But I'm sure there is at least one out there. I thought he retired, actually, but...
Well, if you must know, since you busted me for laughing while you were talking, I was laughing because you said engagement, and I thought, well, my girlfriend's going to find out how big I am on engagement here really soon.
Oh, I thought you
but
were laughing.
No, I wasn't laughing at you. You said engagement. That just popped into my head. So I'm sorry to get way off track. I wasn't laughing at you.
I spent a lot of time being laughed at. It's just, it's part of my life. So I just assumed.
It's part of not being treated properly with respect by people who think they're smarter than you are.
I was making a joke because I had a little run-in with a misogynist on my Facebook. Well, that happens every day.
The misogynist for Gabe was out in full force today.
Yes. I love being told how I should do things and what the standards should be on my Facebook page, especially when they misread what I wrote. A favorite of mine. And for all of you listening out there, our readers would never do that to a woman.
Yes.
We have a lot of great male readers. But for those of you who don't read us, and if you're thinking of trying that to hit on a woman, I'm just here to tell you, no.
It's not going to work. It's not going to end up the way you think it's going to end up. It's basically, it feels like the equivalent of...
No. Really? You're going to talk about how...
No. I mean for a guy. It feels like you're pointing them in the right direction. You're showing them what to do.
Yeah.
You're straightening out. But, now please explain what it feels like to a woman.
I can't say it on the air.
Yes, you can.
What it feels like to a woman? Well, let's see. I was sitting there thinking, so, A, you're telling me what to do, how to do it, on my Facebook page, shaming me, basically calling me a couple of, hysterical. I mean, these are the inferred insults, sort of like the usual insult that's thrown at a woman. So, I mean,
usual insult would be something like, because I read this page, so I'm going to just fill in because you're too nice, fill in the blanks. He was implying that you're a hysterical woman, drama queen, making it all about you, and you're just being emotional. Would that sum it up?
Yeah, that's pretty much
it. You're too nice to say.
But it happens all the time. I mean, I can't get up. This stuff happens to me all day long. I can't get upset about it. I mean, there are sometimes it'll there's so much of it during the day, and then at the end of the week, I'll have this moment where it's like, you know what, I don't even want to do this anymore. And I did have that moment the other day, and that's why I decided, you know, I'm done being silent about this stuff. I've tried on my Facebook page to be super nice and all that, but it's like I've got my good friends there and good readers, they understand. So I don't need to mess around with those people. And my readers were like, ha ha, dude, go away. You're a loser, basically.
Oh, wow. Look at this. We have a caller. This is a good time to remind people that the guest call-in number is area code 877. That's Ocho Siete Siete. 537-2596. Not going to do the whole thing in Spanish, don't worry. So
you're getting all fancy on me.
Okay, area code 505. You're on the show with me and Sarah. Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hi, you're
good
on.
Good show. This is Christopher from New Mexico. How are you doing?
That's who I thought it was. Hi, Chris.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm doing really
Chris
well,
doing
Sarah. Thanks. What I find fascinating is, especially on political forums on social media, such as Facebook or what have you, how very rarely you find ignorance. Everybody's an expert all the time. Everybody knows more than you do all the time. Especially when they don't. The thing is that when you're on something like Facebook or what have you, there are going to be a lot of people with varying degrees of political knowledge and varying degrees of knowledge of political history that are going to pipe up and speak with authority that they simply don't have. You know, you talk about emo progs. Go over, for instance, to Fire Dog Lake, and you'll have a great many people.
Sorry.
You'll have a great many people that will tell you that they will not be satisfied unless they can have a president that's a melding of Noam Chomsky, Howard Zinn, and Yoda, you know, and they simply won't be happy until that happens immediately. They don't understand. I'm 53 years old. I'm not especially old, but I've lived through, 11 presidents and read about all the rest, and there has never been not one president that has done everything that I would want to do or not done everything that I wanted done. It's just that's not the way that reality works in the political process in America. You know, you have to be kind of practical. And the problem that I have, I, of course, have many problems with the political right, but the far left just drives me insane because Stop the World, I Want to Get Off is not a cogent political thought. It really isn't. You know, you're not going to get anywhere riding your fairy unicorn around Utopia Field. You have to be a little bit pragmatic.
I need to say one thing. Okay, I took it's gone. Everything you've just said really strikes a chord with me. The thing is, I don't care if someone doesn't know something. You know, I don't mind if they don't know, and then they need to be educated, and they're open-minded to, and they want to hear about it. But I can't stand, and that's what I wrote my statuses about today, I don't like being lectured to by people who know so much less than I do, and when I tell them the facts, they simply deny them. You know, there's no way to have a discussion with someone like that. And the problem is, what I really want to say is, it's one thing to pick on the readers over there, you know, who have those beliefs. But my real beef is with the folks that are misinforming people on the left. And I'm not saying that's Fire Dog Lake. I usually do ask people really, really nicely. I ask them, where did you get that information and who told you that? Because shouldn't they go back to that source and ask them why they were being misled for 4 years? Why were they told that Obama didn't want to close Gitmo for 4 years? Who was lying to them and asking for money over that when it wasn't true? Why doesn't anyone hold these people accountable? Because then we wouldn't have all these really angry people who are waiting for the fairy unicorn to come down to the White House.
I have a question for both of you before you run away, Chris, if you're still there.
Okay.
The question is, you talked about people thinking they're an expert on the Internet. Do you think, both of you, that that's partially an effect of Fox News kind of culture of telling people this is where you get your information and you're most informed?
No, actually, I don't. I'm certain that kind of lays into it, but I think it's more really an effect of the medium itself. You know, you get to sound important, and a lot of people simply can't resist sounding important, factual or no. And if you get an idea in your head, and the idea becomes foremost, and so you start looking for facts to bolster the idea in your head rather than reading for fact or context, I think that just happens as a part of the medium. Now, there is misinformation, but that's how I see it anyway.
And, I did a story probably a long time ago now on the demographics of the far left, and it seems like they are – doesn't seem like the data shows they're white male, they're disgruntled, and they're basically a mirror of the far right of the Republican Party. And to me, these people are so disgruntled because the party's moved on without them. The party's become more diverse. It's majority women now. It has high percentage of African Americans, Latinos, all kinds of people are in the party now. They aren't the people calling the shots anymore.
Well, you just described David Sirota. You know that, don't you?
Yeah. I know. I know.
Take care, guys. Have a good day.
Okay, thanks, Rich.
You too. Bye-bye.
He got tired of listening
to you. He got tired of listening to you. He made a really good point, though. And I think that's part of the problem, too, is that if somebody sends you a tweet or they leave a comment on Facebook, for me, I don't have the time to rebut what they're saying usually. No. And there also isn't the space. I don't have time to write an essay for you, you know, and get into all of that. So I have become less and less tolerant of it, really. So at this point, it's like, look, if I tell you three times, this isn't the fact, here's how things work, and you're still running around screaming that, you know, Republicans or Democrats are just like Republicans, when the policy and anyone, the internet is, you know, you have access to the internet, then you can go and see the votes and you can see who's proposing what bills and what those bills do. And you should do that as a voter. Not, of course, most voters aren't going to do that, but it's like, I'm not asking you to take my word for it. I think everyone should do their own research, and there, that stuff is right there on the internet. So go do it. Now, I wanted to talk about the other meme Justin wrote about the other day, was that the conservative meme that unions outspend the Koch brothers on elections. So that's been going around, and that's another excuse they use. Oh, see, you know, Democrats are just like, the unions spend all this money. And, of course, they don't include any of the dark money in all of this.
Yeah. I think, by the way, I want to remind everybody, we have about 10 minutes or so left, so if anybody else wants to call in, our telephone number is 877-537-2536. For our non-English-speaking listeners, it is 877-537-2536, because I do not have very good second language skills.
Really nice.
I wish I could do it in more languages. I really do.
Impressive.
But, that's this. It's all a justification, the same thing that Justin Barragona of Politicus USA wrote about, was all a justification for allowing the Kochs and the right-wing billionaires to hijack the process. Now it's, oh, we have to do this. We're being outspent by the unions. Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy.
Mm-hmm.
Give us
big,
more.
Big, bad unions full of the working people. Unlike the Koch brothers, you know, the other day I said something about the somebody wrote me on Twitter something about the Tea Party is owned by the Kochs, and I said, who gave birth, you know, to the Birchers? And some people still didn't even know that that was the case, and it always surprises me, and I need to stop being surprised by stuff like that, because most people don't spend all day doing this. But if you look at that relationship of the Birchers, who were so discredited that now they have to become the Tea Party, and you realize these are the same people with the same ends manipulating the populace in order to advance policies that only represent the top 2% or the top 1% of the 1%, as we said about Mitt Romney, then people would be much less prone to fall for these kind of lies. If people could see those connections. That's why the Disclose Act, that I keep coming back to that, but I think that's so important, because, by the way, I'd love to see it with every ad on TV, a a sticker. This belongs to, you know what I mean? This is Downy paper towel, paid for this
ad. And you know why they especially are afraid of the Disclose Act, and, well, they have new FCC rules, potential FCC rules, that would force local TV stations to have a section on their website that tells you who is buying the ads. Because people like you and I will get that information. We will write about it. We will try to make sure other people hear about it. It's all about suffocating the flow of fact and information. And anybody who cares about truth should be upset about that. Should find this a completely intolerable and untenable situation.
Well, it's just getting worse and worse. And it is, if I keep saying that, it could get really depressing. I don't want to be too much of a downer, because it is an election year and people do need to go out and vote. And that's the whole point is, you know, like Chris brought up, and he's a pragmatist. He sees things very clearly about the way the process works. So, yes, we all agree that, and somebody asked me the other day, what are my politics? Because it seems like I'm so in the middle. It's like, that's actually not true. Or I guess I wouldn't define it that way. What I would say is that I have the same goals as a lot of my friends who describe themselves as socialists, but I see getting there in a different way. I'm looking at making actual change, and I think it takes both. I actually think it does take both types, so that's why I don't get as irritated by that stuff.
You're pragmatic. You have broad goals.
I do.
High goals, but you're pragmatic about how to get there.
But I do think that it's important to have people pushing from the far left,
who,
even if they don't understand the process, because they're articulating values that are important. And if no one's pushing from that side, then you have way too much to the right. However, I do take issue with folks who claim to be the far left, and actually almost everything they articulate is really sounds much more Republican and conservative. And you look at a lot of these folks, and Chris mentioned this too, but you see this sort of disdain for minorities and disdain for women. That's not a Democratic platform, and I'm not going to buy that's left. Complete bullcrap.
They have a disdain, even it seems, for the issues. They disdain the people, but they don't even want to discuss the issues.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to hear about it. If it's not Edward Snowden or Bradley Manning or
I take issue with that. If those are your only issues, I'm not believing that you're actually far left. That's libertarian left. There's no such thing. That's an invention, some sort of hybrid invention of coolness, and I get it. Those are important issues too, but they're not the only important issues on the table, and I don't think you can claim some kind of superiority or far left status just because you care about those things, especially if you don't care about these other things. If you don't care about, if you're so worried about the government reading your emails, but you don't give a crap if your neighbor can go vote who's black because he's being discriminated against, I don't think that that's left.
I am still learning on a lot of issues. I'm trying to open myself up to a lot of things, but I don't understand how these people can possibly describe themselves as caring about the future of the country whenever what they have most in common with many of the people in the country who vote with the Republicans is selfishness. Utter selfishness.
Self-centeredness,
Selfishness. I don't want the government reading my emails. Well, if the government says that you can't get the health care you need, well, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
Can I get my health care?
Women's bodies no longer have – I mean, to me, this is – I was really impressed with what President Carter said, because this is really a major issue of our time. You're talking about a time when what's happening with the Hobby Lobby case, Republicans are trying to take ownership now of our unfertilized eggs. That's – absolutely ridiculous. We're not even talking about embryos or fertilized eggs anymore. Now we're taking it to fertilized eggs. We own the fertilized egg has more rights, and we own the fertilized egg inside of your body. This is actually pretty crazy and pretty not okay. And if you don't care about those things, I got an issue with that too. I don't think that's liberal. So I don't want to be lectured to, and I see that's what I see, is those kinds of people then beating up on people who care about issues that are in the Democratic platform, voting rights, women's rights, immigration, you know, these things that matter to a large percentage of the people in the in that party.
Yeah, I just do not, and I cannot comprehend why, if you claim you want the Democrats to win, and the party is a majority women, we hear this, I swear, we must hear this every single time we write about, or you specifically, because you're a woman, so you they come after you. They tell you that what you're writing doesn't matter. You know, this issue doesn't matter to us. Well, we're Democrats.
And... I got, did I tell you about the tweet I got from some dude at Fire Dog Lake, a writer from over there? I wrote about rape once. He sent me a tweet telling me basically that I shouldn't be writing this stuff and I was advocating to violate the law and I really need to grow up, kind of this sort of tweet. It was like, you know what? I just started laughing. It's like, and you wonder, just no. That's all I can say is no, because I don't even know where to go with that. As if, you know, rape was lawful.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Was I not writing about something that's against the law? Because I thought it was.
I would think that whenever a whole entire gender, once again, I keep saying this when this hits every day till people understand this, is the majority.
Yeah.
Is being assaulted physically, mentally, and emotionally. That should matter.
But there's a large percentage of unmarried women who are not registered to vote in 2010. I think it was, I just tweeted this morning, up of the 36%, that I might be off, that might be not be accurate, but it's around that number, that aren't registered to vote. And so it's easy to, frankly, you know, it's not fair to the women who are engaged and active, but it's easy to ignore this entire gender when 36% of unmarried women are not registered to vote. So I would say everyone, men, all the great men that read us and the great women, go and get your girlfriends, your sisters, and your moms.
Your
make
daughters.
Sure, your daughters.
Your
make
young
sure they
daughters
vote. Yeah.
that are college age that may not be voting.
And make sure they go to register to vote now, because it could take months. It took me a long time to be able to get registered to vote the last two times I moved because of all the voter voting ID laws that have changed. So now it's become this sort of, you might as well just, you know, put aside 5 days for it and hope it takes less.
Look, we have about 90 seconds left, and I just want to say that, you know, Sarah is such an inspiration, and I personally learned so much from talking to her. I'm lucky enough to get to talk to her.
Okay.
Everybody else just has to settle for reading her and learning.
Can you imagine? I think he's trying to keep me here. I don't know.
It's just talking, and you learn. So I've learned so much, and
that's
I'm still learning.
Very nice of you.
And so it's not just one person with a message. It's an entire nation. She, you're very in tune with where the entire, who the entire nation is and where it is.
Well, if you're talking about for women or people.
Period.
In general,
the majority.
Yeah.
The women are the majority of the nation, so it's okay to say the nation and women.
Okay. Good. I like that. Let's own it. Good. I like that.
So, I mean, it's stupid. It's absolutely idiotic that we pretend like women are some sort of subset when they're the majority.
They're the silenced majority. Yeah,
that's
the
exactly
conservatives go over there and whine about being the silent majority, but in fact it's women.
Yeah, and if you want to know how women get ignored, just look at your primetime schedule and notice that there are a grand total of two women hosting cable news shows.
I don't even need to – okay, we're ending this, but I can just tell you right now because it makes me mad every single day. I write about laws that are made by men for women, and they are interpreted for the public by mostly white men who don't have any understanding of the challenges that minorities face, poor people face,
okay,
poor women.
We're out of time for the live part. That's it for the live. You can keep talking if you want, and we'll just tape.
Right.
So please continue.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Keep
That's
going.
It.
I'm
just saying that it makes me really, really angry. It started to really crystallize for me during the Affordable Care Act when we saw so many of, and like, you know, these are liberal pundits. These aren't, I'm not talking about conservative pundits, not understanding the issue. And I know these people are well-intentioned, so it's not that, but it's like you're in this cushy world where you've never not had insurance. If you weren't in that world, then you wouldn't possibly be interpreting things the way you are. So what we have, you know, that's when it really started to dawn on me that what we were doing was kind of unusual here at Politicus, because we have a lot of female writers, minorities. You know, we have a mix across the board of folks. We still need, I think every place needs to work on getting more voices, because you can't understand someone else's experience, and one person can't speak for an entire gender or entire minority, obviously. But the more voices that you have at the table from different experiences, the more likely you are to have policy and have discussions that reflect the American people. And that's what our government is supposed to be.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a reflection of the populace.
Right.
But there are
yeah.
so many people who still keep trying to claim that this government is just representing white men. It's like the founding. They haven't moved on from the founding fathers. And then we have the Republicans that are trying to say you have to own property to vote. It's like they're
thinking,
I'm waiting for the three-fifths rule for African Americans.
I think they're doing that to women, though, because
they are.
You know, they keep talking, you know, over and over again. They keep saying, oh, we don't need to make equal pay for women, because women are, there are already laws that do that. But, and yet in their own offices, they're violating these laws. In their own attorney general's office, they're violating these laws. And then coming out and telling the public all smugly, you know, well, I love my wife and I love women, so we don't need extra laws, though. Ha ha, you ladies need to stop getting so upset, you know, pat you on the head. 70 cents on the dollar, 77 cents on the dollar is fine for you. And I think I wrote something the other day and said, I'm not 77% of a person, you know, 0.77%. I feel like I'm a whole person, and I would like to be treated like a whole person. I'm pretty sure that most women are going to feel the same way. So,
do you think that it's easy for men to come after women's rights, especially women's voting rights like this, because the women were the last constitutionally to get the vote? I mean, there's still that lingering prejudice that women shouldn't be voting, even if it's buried deep in our national subconscious?
You know, that's a really good question, and I'm sure that plays a part in it. It's really hard for me to even understand this mindset. I just don't. Now, I was just brought up in this different world. I was just telling my mom the other day, you know, she brought me up to believe that women could do anything men could, and that the world was much more fair and equal than what I'm learning is the reality. And I think, I'm sure I'm not the only woman really feeling that. I mean, I knew there were still struggles, but the kinds of debates that we're having now where we have to explain why we need equal pay or talk about why we need to vote, it's getting, why my unfertilized eggs are now going to be given, you know, Hobby Lobby gets to have religious beliefs about my unfertilized eggs. I mean, it was bad enough to me when they were discussing embryos, but they've moved the goalpost 3 times, and now, you know, here we are at the unfertilized egg. It's absolutely true. I tweeted something the other day about, you know, if women, because we are the majority, were running the country, if we were making the laws and media was run by women, so everything about the legal system was interpreted by women, and we were all sitting around pondering if our religious beliefs would let a man get a kidney transplant or not, or how much we own, you know, his genitals, say, I don't think that men would be very happy about that, and I don't think it would be accepted as sort of just a regular conversation. And so what really bothers me is that I see liberal men, pundits, male pundits, getting that this is misogynistic and it's wrong, but it's like you can have this conversation and sort of stay calm about it, because no one's talking about coming for your, you know, your body. They're not talking about coming for your voting rights. They're not claiming ownership to these things and your medical care, because. And I don't get into this, you know, I don't write about this stuff, but I've had a medical issue that required a form of birth control that I was denied because my insurer said that can be used as birth control. And that was a very serious medical issue that I suffered with for several years and could not do anything about until I had the money to have surgery. because they weren't going to pay for it. You know, it's just birth control isn't just about, and it doesn't matter if it is. If it was just about having control over our bodies, that's enough. But it's also a medical issue. So here we are having these discussions about letting Republican men make decisions about my health care. I can't even tell you. I mean, I cannot articulate how offensive and how disturbing I find these debates, and how I'm glad that most men get this is misogynistic, but I don't think they get the sort of visceral fear that this strikes into women, because no one's coming for their sort of body parts.
And that fear would seem to be the intended purpose of this movement.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think they're trying to intimidate women, and you see that in the same tactics that fellow used on my Facebook page today. Those are the same tactics used to intimidate women. I mean, you see it in the tweets directed at women all the time. It's, you know, call you a, try to shame you. There's a million ways to try to silence a woman from speaking up about
it. It's always, almost always, it seems to begin with attacking you physically. A man usually is judging the woman physically,
mm-hmm.
and that's supposed to, I guess.
Right. Well, that really bothers me. And remember when I used to write about Sarah Palin when she was really in the public eye a lot, and all of her fans would come on and call me an ugly, fat person who didn't deserve to live, basically. And I never responded to that. I mean, in fact, I used to be a model, but I never said that to them, because to me, it is irrelevant what I have done with my life. What I look like is irrelevant. And why is a woman who is overweight not allowed to speak and not allowed to have an opinion? I object to that, and I wasn't about to feed into that whole concept by fighting with the person based on their values. I don't share those values. And sadly, while that is really big with the right, you see some of that on the left, too,
mm-hmm.
and particularly from these sort of people that we were talking about earlier who don't really care about women's issues, and they will bring up these physical attributes or lack thereof, and, you know, it's really inappropriate, because you're talking about ideas, so let's stay focused on ideas, and let's discuss the ideas. Let's discuss the issue of rape. Let's discuss birth control. Let's discuss these things without getting personal about it and trying to invalidate somebody. And I don't know why, especially in our culture, you see this. If you're not attractive as a woman, quote-unquote attractive, whatever the heck that seems to mean.
If men do not deem you.
Right. If they don't want to have sex with you, then you should be quiet and you shouldn't have any opinion. And, you know, let's just face it. The most interesting people have lived a little bit. And they are a little older. You know, they have seen things, they understand things, they have something to say. Everyone's opinion, if they can articulate it, you know, reasonably, is worth listening to. So, basically, I mean, you know, we're just talking about the ways women are silenced. That's one of them. It's about your externals, and if that isn't good enough, then they'll start getting into sexually shaming and threatening rape and all the other stuff that they do. And when that doesn't work, then it's the condescension and the usual. You saw a little bit of that on my page today. I mean, it's just, it's hard. And I think because I do this every day, I've developed a lot of coping strategies. It made me really angry today to see other people on my page getting beaten up by these, what I would say, they're really angry, hostile trolls, you know, running around kind of beating people up. It's very power over structure, and I know that is, you know, Christopher was saying that that's basically just kind of social media, and it is. That's a really good point, but it's also indicative of this power over structure. I'll come in here, I will swing my, you know what, and hit everybody and shut you up. I don't dig that. I don't want that on my Facebook page.
Do you think, though, it might just be social media, because social media has a tendency to amplify our cultural traits?
Yeah.
And exaggerate.
Yeah, and it is there's no sort of wider shaming structure. I mean, you can shame somebody in one thread, but they'll just come back to another one. So it isn't, you know, even in society, if you have if somebody acted like that at work, people would ostracize that person, but they can't do that online. Person just can come back under different identities, and so you're not able to enforce certain values and certain levels of conduct, really. But, you know, you can have I got people on that, you know, people that you disagree with, and they can get really heated up about it without becoming, I'm not really sure how to articulate it. It's just this level of hostility and really aggressive nastiness.
This level of making it very personal.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know if it's personal because they, I guess I'm just talking about specifically happened to these other folks today that I was looking at. But, you know, there's a lot of ways to silence people. And that's basically what these trolls, these paid trolls, are trying to do, who run around conflating Republicans, Democrats with Republicans. They're trying to silence this discussion and dampen morale.
Okay.
It's same thing.
This has been a fantastic show and a great discussion, and we've gone about 11 minutes over, so I think this is a good place to stop for today. While we're recording, and probably no one's going to hear this, I will tell you that we didn't do shows for a few weeks because there was some sort of cold and virus going around, and at various times, one of us couldn't talk for weeks on end. So now everybody can talk again, and we're back.
Yep, so hopefully you guys will join us next time.
Next time should be Monday afternoon, right around 4 o'clock. So we will see you Monday. I am still Jason.
And I'm still Sarah. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening.